Hello everyone and welcome to the Stage of Place, the podcast where we talk to those behind the scenes in theatre. And today on episode 2 of series 4, we are joined by Robert Holton. He was the writer of Dumbledore Is So Gay, a production which had rave reviews at the Vault Festival last year and is upcoming a run at the Pleasance in London. And in this episode, we talk to Robert about this upcoming Pleasance run, as well as murder mystery inspirations, how the themes of the show may have changed over the past 18 months, as well as whereabouts their staging place may be. A question that we ask all the guests in our podcast. So sit back, relax, and let's dive right in with our guest, Robert Holton. Robert, firstly, I want to thank you so much for coming on to the Stage Place. It's such a pleasure to have you on. How are you doing today?
Yeah, great. Pretty excited for Dumbledore Is So Gay, which, given it's a year and a half since the last show, it's kind of actually come around really quickly as well as really slowly.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of excitement in the room. I know we're going to chat a little bit later on about what it's been like having to remount rehearsals post-pandemic and what it's been like over the last 18 months. But is there a lot of excitement? Have you been rehearsing at the moment with the show?
I personally am not, but I know Tom, who's the director, has been doing a lot of chatting, lots of line practicing between the actors. And I think there's going to be a photo shoot tomorrow. So I know there's a lot of stuff going on behind scenes that I'm not involved with at the moment. But yeah, it's heating up.
Lots of exciting stuff. Well, like I say, we'll be chatting more about Dumbledore Is So Gay later on. But before all of that, I wanted to get to know a little bit about your entry into the industry and how you found your love for the industry and eventually moving into playwriting.
Yeah, okay, great question. Well, I think I remember as a kid going to the Young Vic at Christmas times to see their Christmas show. I think my dad's parents and my grandparents would take us. And I remember some great shows. There were lots of Grimm's fairy tales, quite dark, sometimes a bit bloody. So from a young age, I loved the theatre and I always found it really magical. So my bachelor's was in psychology and philosophy. So I kind of at one point thought I wanted to be a philosopher slash detective. And after I finished my degree, I went on a creative writing retreat week with the Arvon Foundation. So just a nice kind of retreat for a week in Shropshire with a bunch of writers. And this was novel writing. So it was like an introduction to novel writing. And it was only really on that retreat, I guess this was my early 20s, when I met all these writers and it was run by these two novelists. And I was suddenly like, oh, wow, I hadn't actually thought being a writer could be a profession. So I started thinking twice about it. After that, I went to do a master's in environmental policy because I'd been working in the environmental sector. But whilst that was all going on, I made the most of being at a uni where we could do student drama. So I had my first written production put on, and which was a murder mystery because I love murder mysteries. So I think that was the first time I saw, I guess I was in my mid-20s, I saw my first show put on and it was so much fun. Very student, low budget, fun, lots of goodwill, and we just had a great time. And I think maybe the decade since that, over that, since then, I've just been slowly plodding on, writing, finding opportunities and stuff like that. But I think that was possibly, I'd always loved theatre, but I never really thought about it as a profession. So that writing retreat in Shropshire, even though it was for fiction, nevertheless, like reignited my spark and desire to be a writer.
During those stages, I think during university, they are the moments where you can just create theatre and it's really just for having fun and just putting it on for friends and family. But it must be so nice that, especially with murder mystery, there are so many that you can do. Tell us a little bit about the murder mysteries that you enjoyed writing back when you were younger.
Yeah, so I did two over that master's. The first one was called Isabel, which was less a murder mystery, more a little bit of a satire on horrible posh people about these two super posh students at Oxford Uni who had murdered their friend Isabel. So you kind of get to know them. Bit of satire, so funny as well. And I guess, you know, I'm a huge Agatha Christie fan. So I was inspired by her because I guess this was quite a while ago, but I was asking, you know, in lots of Agatha Christie novels, everyone's so blasé about murder. And I was thinking, why, what sort of person is that blasé about murder? And I guess my conclusion at the time was a psychopath. So I guess I explored that. And then I did another one called The Last Tutorial, which was about a young psychology student called Esther Jones and her gay sidekick friend, Stu, who I think he did philosophy. So they are basically my first degree, just split in two conveniently. Yeah. And she had a tutorial and afterwards her tutor got shot. And everyone says it's suicide, but she's convinced it's murder. So she goes maybe slightly off the rails, or she starts her own investigation. And Stu's very cynical and sassy, obviously. So he's always like, Esther, are you sure there's a murder here? So then she dives into the case. So that was a lot of fun. So that, I guess, she was my first effort at creating a fictional detective.
And let's talk a little bit about your style in playwriting. So obviously we'll talk a little bit about Dumbledore Is So Gay, but how unique would you say your writing style is? And has there been any inspirations with your writing, would you say, when creating your pieces of work?
So, as I'll probably keep saying, obviously Agatha Christie, huge inspiration. I think my original style was probably just murder mystery, but I think Agatha Christie taught me loads about plotting. I think her plotting is superb and regularly genius, regardless of, and she does write a lot of scripts, and a lot of her novels are very script-like anyway, so there's so much drama in them. I think other inspirations, like I love Tom Stoppard and the way he just is so overly intellectual, and the characters just talk far too much about esoteric. But for a philosophy student and a geek and a Ravenclaw, I was like, yes, like, tell me more. So I think I definitely went through a phase of wanting to write, inverted commas, really clever plays and be like, look, I've studied philosophy. But I think with Dumbledore, I think now I've slightly, well, I have let go of the murder mystery genre, fortunately. And this is actually just a story. It's about a character and his life, and we get to see his story. So what was exciting for me when I wrote it, I felt like, oh, wow, I'm telling a story in and of itself. I'm not relying on a particular genre or particular structure of, you know, murder mystery or fantasy or whatever it might be. And I just wrote a story. So that felt like a nice development that I could take off the murder mystery jacket and try something else on.
I'm just going to jump in here. Hi, everyone. I'm Robin from High Top Design, and you're probably wondering who I am. Well, I'm a graphic designer with over 10 years experience in corporate communications. I've recently been working with Elliot on the new logo for the Stager Place. But why am I interrupting the interview? I just wanted to let you guys know that as well as podcast artwork, I can help with lots of other things. Design projects, CVs, photo restorations, websites, magazines, posters, programs, anything like that, just give me a shout. Honestly, no job is too big or too small, and I will work with you to make sure the end result looks awesome. Don't need anything designed? No worries at all. I know you love theatre as you're listening to this podcast, so you will probably like my range of musical theatre prints and badges. I also have a cute range of mushroom pride pins, or I can make you and your family and friends into cartoon versions. You can find all this and much more on my website, hightop.design, or give me a like and a follow on Instagram and Facebook. I'm hightopdesign on those as well. Anyway, thanks guys. I will now let you get back to the show.
You've just touched upon there about the play, Dumbledore Is So Gay. So for listeners out there who may be interested, can you tell us a little bit about the play itself?
Yes. So the play, we meet Jack. He's the protagonist. He starts the play. He's age 12. This is in the noughties. He's a huge Harry Potter fan. He secretly loves the fact Dumbledore is gay, which JK revealed in 2007. So he's big up on that, but very quiet about it. And he's gay and he loves his best friend. He's in love with his best friend, Ollie, but isn't going to tell anyone. So the first act, we see his life, his adolescence, as he goes from a 12-year-old to an 18-year-old, and lots of different experiences he has as a young gay guy. Especially in the first act, some of them are quite tough. But he's gunning for love. You know, he loves Ollie, and there's some plot twists en route. But unfortunately for Jack, at the end of Act One, things have gone really badly and he's hit this rock bottom that's really hard for him. But he gets at his time turner and he starts again. So he goes back to being age 12 and he gets to do it again. So we get to see him a couple of times try and change his life for the better and get the love he craves. And I guess we get to see the repercussions and the consequences of when he tries to do things differently.
Amazing. And just hearing a little bit about that, there are obviously quite a few Harry Potter inspirations or Easter eggs maybe within the play itself. If somebody was coming to watch the play and maybe wasn't as big of a Harry Potter fan, let's say, would they still enjoy the show, and does it still have a love story, an overall arc that they can enjoy away from the Harry Potter aspects?
Absolutely. Like, I think Jack's a huge Harry Potter fan, but it's not a Harry Potter story by any means. And yes, there are a few references and jokes, but I think if you're not a super fan like Jack, you'll be fine. And it's more his kind of coming of age, coming out, adolescent story. And, you know, it's regularly very funny. So you will laugh. So people will laugh. So they're going to find it funny as well and just enjoy it. And, you know, there's poignancy and darkness, in all good stories. But yeah, it's more of a roller coaster ride through Jack's life rather than like an exam on which obscure bits of Harry Potter lore do you know and which bits don't you know.
Yeah, amazing. Well, the show's already previously been staged before with rave reviews all over from productions at the Vault Festival, and now it's being staged at the Pleasance this September. How much joy is there with this story that will be able to be reached for a bigger audience? And what's the process been like recently to restage this again after 18 months?
Yeah, so how much joy? I don't know if you can measure joy, but a factor of 100, you know, we're so excited. And it's all come together quite quickly. We have an amazing producer on board called Hannah Elsie. She runs Hannah Elsie Productions. And her team, we got an Arts Council grant from them. And as soon as we had that, and they are doing their own, Hannah's been in charge of a fundraising effort to get more money, because obviously a bigger production, well, productions anyway, you know, there need to be money there. But once I think we got the ACE grant, can't remember the exact date it happened, but I remember I was at Hampstead Heath Lido and I got a call just as I was walking in, like in my swimming trunks, and Hannah's like, we've got the money. So that was super exciting and super important. And then since then, things have been moving quite quickly. Hannah's been doing quite a lot of outreach in terms of making sure broad audiences, different groups can know this is happening. And yeah, Tom, the director's back, all the actors are back, and we have someone called Natalie on board to help with set design as well, which is quite exciting. That's a step up. And then the old team as well in terms of composing, sound, lighting, choreography. It's like, you know, like a Harry Potter sequel years down the line. What feels years down the line, because the last year and a half has felt very long. So we're all back and we're just ready to go. I think we've all been wanting this a lot. And we've just had to be very patient and, you know, deal with everything that's come. And now we're ready. So we're off.
And do you think that any of the themes in the show will resonate a little bit differently after everyone's been stuck indoors?
That is a good question. I guess, you know, what wouldn't we do if we had a time turner and could go back? Yeah. Although I was thinking I wouldn't actually go back to a year and a half ago, because I couldn't do this again.
No.
So I think I've been thinking about this, and I think in the gay world and the LGBTQ plus world, for a lot of us in it, and I obviously can't speak for everyone, I'm speaking for myself, I've had to be resilient in difficult times, regardless of a pandemic, and in ways maybe other people don't have to think about needing to be resilient or putting up with different pressures which aren't necessarily there for other people. So I think that is, for me, part of the life I live. So in that sense, when a pandemic comes along, it creates whole new problems and it's awful, and I would happily erase it from time. But a lot of those skills that I think are necessary to get through, if one has a tough queer life, they can also really help in a time when a lot of the things we're used to for happiness, well-being are turned off because we're social distancing, we're self-isolating, we're on lockdown. So I reckon Jack would hate having to do a pandemic. But I think by the end of the play, he'd have learned a few good skills to help him get through it.
You definitely have a lot of Harry Potter knowledge, films and books and spin-offs to keep him going at least for a little while.
There would be a lot of online watcher films with all his friends, and even the relaxing ones would get involved eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. And for anybody out there aspiring to be a playwright, Robert, what advice would you give to those people out there? Because obviously with this show, they may see Dumbledore Is So Gay and be inspired by fan fiction or be inspired by their favourite TV show or film. If they're just starting out and they really have got nowhere to give inspiration, what advice would you give to them?
Yeah, great. I think, well, so I said earlier that there's quite a lot of Ravenclaw in me, and I am a geek. I do love studying. So I love studying theatre itself, reading play texts, trying to analyse in the good ones what makes them good, or trying to work out why I don't like a particular play. So really just looking at the craft as a craft, you know, as something that people piece together and create, not just magic that comes out of someone's head. It doesn't necessarily work like that. And reading some of those how-to books can be great as well. Some are better than others. Doing courses as well has helped me in the past. I remember years and years and years ago, I did a weekend at the Soho Theatre. And I remember being given this advice, and they were talking about this play, which a one-woman show about a woman who often does some quite dodgy things to her friends and to the people around her. And they were saying, you know, don't just write a character as simplistically good. Let's see them do the wrong things. Turned out that play was Fleabag, and obviously turned into a phenomenon. So I think be inspired by other work, but also, find out what you love. Like, I wrote a lot of murder mysteries, so that helped me improve my craft as well, because I guess I was writing within a particular genre, but I got to practice it because I really loved it. And I guess I applied to the Papa Tango Theatre Awards, all the cool things at the Royal Court, you know, become a young writer at the Royal Court, and didn't get any of those things, but kept applying because I was really keen for it. I did years ago get to do a few weeks at the North Wall in Oxford. They did a kind of a theatre programme for actors and writers and stuff, and that was great fun. So all those sorts of things. I think also it's really tough, especially financially and economically in our society at the moment. So I think we have to be creative. Certainly when we did Dumbledore at the Vaults last year, we did it on a shoestring. There was loads of goodwill put into that by the whole team.
Yeah.
And we were very clear about that from the start. You know, no one's going to be retiring off the back of this show, but we are going to have fun and try and tell a good story together using all of our different skills. A few years ago, when I moved back to London, I joined the Arcola's Queer Collective, which is an LGBTQ plus theatre group for community theatre. And that was was a huge turning point, as well as that week in Shropshire. I think joining the Queer Collective was a huge turning point because I suddenly was amongst more like-minded folks I wrote a queer murder mystery. We did that together. So finding the people to do it with, and obviously things will be different now. We're coming out of the first phase of the pandemic, but hopefully things will start recovering. But finding people to do it with, or doing it yourself. A lot of people write and act in their own shows. I've never had the guts / desire to do that, but just finding the ways you can to get your stuff out there eventually. But I guess, you know, for me, with Dumbledore, for me as a writer, it is, I suppose, part of a much longer, larger process of working pretty hard and persistently. So really exciting that that can happen. But yeah, I certainly didn't just get out of bed one day and wrote Dumbledore is so gay.
Yeah.
You know, I spent years and years and years writing quite bad things and trying to get better and stuff like that.
Hi everyone, my name is Kelly Horn. I am a freelance movement director and movement and dance teacher, and I have created my own brand, Kelly Horn Movement. Kelly Horn Movement provides movement classes and workshops. These classes explore something new and different each week and focus on different ranges of movement, from mindful movement to body conditioning, even to contemporary dance. I wanted to create these classes to pass on and share my joy and passion of movement, and offer something that not only boosts creativity, imagination, exploring different ways of moving and allowing people to connect to their bodies, but also promotes physical and mental well-being for performers, creatives and even people outside of the arts. If you would like to join my weekly classes or even just receive updates about future classes and workshops, head to my website kellyhornmovement.com. You can also follow me on Instagram. My handle is @kellyhornmovement, and I'm also on Twitter @KellyHornMove. Thank you so much to The Stagey Place for all of the support, and enjoy the rest of the episode, everyone. Bye.
And obviously, I just want to touch upon like the longevity of Dumbledore is So Gay. And now that you've got a bigger team involved in this Pleasance run, and you've got, you know, your set designers and any other technical aspects of it, do you see the play reaching out further past London soon enough?
Well, what's exciting, so for this round, we also have it online. So for two weeks after the show, I think from the 27th of September to the 11th of October, it will be online. And I've already got a few friends around the world who will be joining in from America, I think Sweden, so different countries. So that's pretty cool that people I know can see it. But also then, well, I've got friends in Manchester watching it, you know, people who aren't going to come down to watch a show in London. So that's really exciting to have something online. And I think that's something that has been a big... for a lot of us, having watched a lot of those National Theatre Live things that they put on last year, for me, it'd be like, oh, no, okay, online shows are great, like, count me in. Not necessarily a substitute for the real thing, but as an addition, it's really great. And then beyond that, I don't exactly know what the future will be, but I would happily see this put on again and again and go places. Yeah, that'd be really exciting.
That's really exciting as well, that it will have an on-demand system as well, because like you say, it reaches a much larger audience. You never know who's going to be watching it. And also that means that our listeners, they could potentially have a chance to watch it on demand, which is fantastic. So Robert, what I really want to ask you, and this is the final question of the podcast, is whereabouts is your stagey place? So it's something that I ask every single guest that comes on this show. It could be the place that you first had your play performed. So it could be back in the university college years. It could be the place that you first saw your live piece of theatre, whether or not that was a nativity or a pantomime. Or it could just be the place that you go to and encapsulates what theatre is about. So Robert, whereabouts for you is your stagey place?
So I think I went to the Fringe for the first time in 2005, and then I went again in 2006. So I was a teenager, and that was just mind-blowing in itself. But I have two memories of two shows which were great, and I haven't looked up the playwright's name, but a script called Aruba, And again, I think it was at the Pleasance, actually, in the courtyard, in a small kind of like porter cabin almost. And it was frantic pace and small number of actors, multiplaying roles, and really funny. So in a funny way, not 100% dissimilar to Dumbledore.
Yeah.
And that was so memorable in terms of just this amazing show. And I also remember, as a lover of murder mysteries, I'm also a lover of horror. And one morning I like sprinted from one side of the city to the other to go and see a horror musical starring John from S Club 7. And that was great. That was great. So I think I guess my stagey place would be that time at the Fringe where I just got to like eat up as much theatre as I could at the time. And I went with friends and we rented like student accommodation or something. So I think that was pretty great. And also I think seeing smaller things, I guess it maybe made it easier to then imagine to be able to do something like that as well. So that was super inspiring back in the Fringe, back in the mid-noughties.
Yeah, and I also feel like those spaces, those smaller spaces, the porter cabin spaces, studio spaces, especially at the Fringe, they're more, stripped back. And there's not really much set and much props, let's say. And it actually, I guess, as a playwright or as any creative, lets your imagination run wild because you can see pretty much any sort of theatre piece in those spaces. So the possibilities are endless for what you're writing and could potentially be fit in any space.
Yeah, exactly. I think, it's not just the Revolve on the Olivier Theatre of the National that we're aiming for. It's, we can do what we want, where we want. And I think, I think, especially now, with the necessity of creativity, the more we can find those spaces and create them together, the more likely we'll be able to keep making the theatre that we want to. I suppose that Arcola's Queer Collective is another good example where you get this chance to put a show on in a small studio theatre and just give it your all.
Yeah, amazing. Well, Robert, that comes to the end of our interview today for the podcast. I want to thank you so much for coming on today to talk about Dumbledore Is So Gay, to talk about your Agatha Christie inspiration murder mysteries. And I'm really excited to come and watch the show during the run at the Pleasance. And thank you so much again for coming on today.
Oh, my pleasure. Lovely to meet you, Elliot. Thank you.
And there we go. That was our latest episode of The Stagey Place with this week's guest, Robert Holter. If you love to follow the social media accounts of Dumbledore Is So Gay, you can do over on Instagram and Twitter by searching DISG_play. That's DISG_play. My name's been Elliot Shepherd. You've been listening to The Stagey Place. You can also catch us on social media over on Twitter and Instagram by searching at The Stagey Place. And until next time, I hope you're keeping safe and I look forward to hear from you soon.